Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
Steel Magnolias, the play, is coming to Pella. Let's go in-depth with Central College professor C.D. Adamson and student actors Ann Kokenauer and Brandy Himes. So C.D., Steel Magnolias is coming.
Yes, March 1st through the 4th at the Pella Opera House, 7:30. And it's a pretty well-known show. It was made into a movie in the mid-80s with Dolly Parton and Sally Fields, Julia Roberts. So a lot of people know it. It started off as an off-Broadway play, and then in 2005, I believe, it was revived on Broadway. And just recently, 2012, it was made into a Lifetime movie with Queen Latifah and an all-black cast. So they kind of flipped the tables on it. So it's been, it's pretty widely known, and we're excited that we get to bring it to Pella.
Yeah. Well, and why is it so popular?
I think it's the story. It's kind of a universal story. It's actually Robert Harling who wrote it. He originally wrote a short story about his sister because he was trying to deal with her death. And he wanted his nephew, who was born, to know the story of his mom, and because she died very shortly after his birth. And so he wrote the short story, and then somebody suggested that he write a play about it. And I think it really speaks to family, it speaks to friendships, it's very touching, and it's also very funny too. And so there, the whole title, which we've talked about, is centers around that the women are, that Malin, Anne's character, says something about that men are supposed to be made of steel, and yet they're the ones that are really the steel ones, and that they can be delicate as a flower but strong as steel. So when it comes to dealing with life happenings around them.
Well, and that image appeals to contemporary women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. It's a very, it's an all-female cast, and that's what a lot of people don't realize is when they see the movie, the men that they talk about are in the movie, but in the play, it's just the six women, and it's set in a beauty shop, and they talk about the men, but you never see them. So,
what do you think is more effective, without the men or with the men?
I think it's more effective without them. Yeah, I really do, because they're really kind of superfluous. They talk about them, but it's really about the friendships of the women, and it's about their the relationships with each other, their support of each other, and the humor that they find with each other as well.
Okay, and so if you've seen the movie, you're going to see a whole new, different perspective on it with seeing the play.
Right, yeah. But I wanted to say, too, that the movie is very similar to the play. A lot of the dialogue is the same. It's just that they added some dialogue and whatever in the movie for the male characters. But if you notice in the movie, the men don't have a lot of lines. They're just kind of here and there. But a lot of the lines that are found in the movie are also in the play as well.
Well, Ann, who do you play?
I play Malin Eatonton. I am Shelby's mother and just one of the ladies of the neighborhood.
And Brandy?
I play Clary Belcher. She is the former wife to the mayor of Chicopin. And she is kind of just that older lady who is everyone's mom, and she's always baking and always there for some advice and for some humor.
Mm-hmm. So you're one of the older characters?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that adds another dimension, too, with the young women and the advice and sage counsel of the older woman.
Yeah.
Sort of.
some advice, anyway.
More In-Depth after this.
I continue my conversation about Steel Magnolias, the play, with Central College professor C.D. Adamson and student actors Ann Kokenauer and Brandy Himes. So what's fun about your character?
I like the fact that Malin isn't one-dimensional. You see the maternal side of her when she's looking and talking to her daughter about everything she's going through with her wedding and her child and her illness, but you get to see her interacting with her friends and laughing and making jokes as well. She's an actual person. She's not just a character.
What do you like about your character?
I like that Clary, I think, is very relatable in the fact that it seems like almost everyone has that crazy aunt or grandmother who is always there trying to feed and just trying to make you feel good. And she is very much, she loves her friends and her family and her neighborhood and the fact that she is so family-oriented. And she's also always trying something new. Like, almost every time you talk, there's something new that she is trying, whether it's a hairdo or going somewhere. And she's just kind of trying to keep up. She's not letting her age determine what she does.
So how did you determine what you were going to act like? Did you watch the movie or taking reference points from your own life? Or
I actually have never seen the movie, but I decided to kind of model Malin after my own mother. Some of the struggles that she's going through with dealing with a sick family member is something that she has done. Shelby has diabetes in the show, and my grandfather suffers from diabetes as well, and my mom has been on and off his primary care provider when he really, really needs help. So she understands that struggle, and she and I have had heart-to-hearts about how she feels about me as her daughter in the motherly way. So I have kind of her words and the emotions in the back of my mind when I try to project them on Shelby, my daughter.
And did you talk to your mom because of this role or just in general?
I actually have not yet. She is going to come see the show, though, and I'm hoping that she picks up on some things that she kind of taught me.
So you haven't told her?
She knows that I'm in the show, but she doesn't necessarily know that I'm modeling my character after her. It'll be interesting.
Are you going to tell her or are you going to surprise her?
Probably after. I'll make a comment about, did you notice anything? Did you see any similarities?
Okay, and Brandy, where did you get your ideas on how to play your character?
I actually have a similar thing with Anne, and I've actually ended up realizing I've been modeling a lot of my character off of my great-grandmother. She grew up, my great-grandfather was a farmer, so she grew up being that very maternal side, taking care of the family. She was very close to all her siblings and their kids, and she's always there for a laugh. She's always there to make you feel better, no matter what the situation, and she's always there to kick your butt and get you into gear. So,
well, so as young women in today's society, how does this play resonate with you? Are there anything different or things you like, inspired by, dislike?
The women are very... While they are very much, like, they're the loyal wives, they're, a lot of them are home providers, Malin still has a job, and they are still very independent women. They make their own choices. They're not there to please their husbands. They actually, they do what they complain about their husbands a lot, actually, and a lot of times you see it's more of them that are in charge of their family than it is their husbands. And so they are very independent women, which I think resonates with a lot with women trying to find that balance between marriage and still having their own identity. Because these women do. They are themselves, and they're just built within their family.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation about Steel Magnolias, the play, with Central College professor C.D. Adamson and student actors Ann Kochenour and Brandy Himes. Does this play, when it was written, the short story, did it play against contemporary gender norms, and did it try to push that a little bit?
I think so, a little bit. It's also a very Southern story because it's set in the South. It's in Chicopin, Louisiana, which is actually fictional. But Harlan was from Nacogdoches, and so he writes about his own experiences and his own. He's even been quoted as saying he knows all of these women. He patterned each of these characters off of a real woman, and like the ladies were just talking about, that they. That's what's so great about this play is they are very relatable, and you probably know somebody like each of these characters in the play. And so in terms of pushing the norms, I think he wanted to bring a light to how women deal with family struggle and how women deal with death and how they're a support system for each other in that aspect.
It seems that, you know, men being superfluous and largely irrelevant except for objects of that's tipping things
right.
a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, no, you're right. It is. It is kind of because a lot of plays it's the opposite. We just did Boeing last semester, which was a very almost misogynistic type thing where the guy is engaged to three different women and all that, and the women were kind of superfluous in that. But in this, the men are, as you said, they're superfluous. They really don't serve that much of a purpose in this story.
My feelings aren't hurt.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
It's sort of fun to turn worlds upside mm-hmm. down, isn't
yeah.
it?
No,
well,
yeah.
that's what theater's supposed mm-hmm. to do, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I want to say, too, I think men would still enjoy this story because it's a very human story. It's not just, I mean, obviously women like it a lot, and I think because they can relate to it so much, but I think men can see women that they know in this play and enjoy it as well, because it is a very funny play, but it's not a farce. It's more of it's just a comedy in that it has some fun lines, it's got some fun situations, but it's also a very heartwarming story as well.
One, maybe it'd be good for us to, for us guys to maybe recognize ourselves mm-hmm. in the discussion the women are having about men. Maybe there's something mm-hmm. we have in common that maybe we should think twice about.
Yep. Yep, exactly.
What made you pick that play?
It was a couple of reasons. I love the show, number one. I've directed it a couple of times now, and it's when we knew we were doing a show over at the Opera House, which we've done the past several years. I wanted to pick something that the community would really like, and it's very family friendly. There's not a lot of bad dialogue or anything in it, and it's just a story that really resonates with people. And it's one of those that I just like to bring out every few years too and redo it because with new ladies and see what they bring to the characters and that sort of thing without recreating the movie. So I'm trying to find their own version of it, which actually Harling encourages. He says, you know, don't fit into a box because these women can, you know, be adaptable and that sort of thing. And that's what I like about it.
And so you think you're better actors after engaging in these roles?
Certainly. You learn something with every single role, and it's one thing to play a larger-than-life character that is absurd and we would never meet in reality, but trying to figure out how to present yourself as a real person, somebody that you could walk past on the street and not even know it, or mm-hmm. that you could, you know, almost be representing somebody that they know, their mother, their sister, their aunt, their grandmother. It is so difficult to try to really do that.
So do you think you've changed? Have you absorbed some of the character? Do you think you'll walk out of this play different?
I know for me, like, the fact that I have modeled this off my great-grandmother and has given me more of kind of an empathy or into insight, because she, like Clary Tuss says in the beginning, that her husband has passed away. And my great-grandmother lived for 5 years after my great-grandfather passed away. And up until then, it had always been Grandma Doris and Grandpa Lloyd. They were always together. They were never apart. And so, like, I've kind of, like, having to delve into Clary and how she feels about her husband and, like, losing her husband, because it still hurts for her in that first scene because it hadn't been that long. It kind of gives me more of an empathy to what my great-grandmother happened when he passed away, and her trying to refind her life and refigure out what she's supposed to do now that she is a single person after being such an entity with someone for so long.
I know you don't have, it's an ensemble piece, and so you don't have, you know, dialogue just with each other. Is there, you know, a line or two each of you'd like to share? I'll start with you, Anne.
Oh, okay. Near the end of the show, there is a moment where all the ladies come together to support Malin, and she's recounting the tale of what has happened very recently for her, and it ties into the title of the show, The Steel Magnolias, that they are strong despite the fact that they are beautiful, and she makes the comment, but finally we all realized there was no hope. At that point, I panicked. I was very afraid I would not survive the next few minutes while they turned off the machines. Drum couldn't take it. He left. Jackson couldn't take it. He left. It struck me as amusing. Men are supposed to be made of steel or something. But I could not leave.
Wow. Brandy, do you have a line?
Yeah, so, like, there are a lot of serious aspects of Steel Magnolias. But the thing of that is, it's just like life. You have serious moments and you have comedy all rolled into one. And what people notice a lot with Southerns is they have these, as Addison likes to call them, bumper sticker sayings. And so Clary actually has a lot of them. And I think my favorite one she has is after Malin says she won't be gossiping about certain things, Clary states, "As someone always said, if you don't have anything nice to say about anybody, come sit by me."
Thanks to C.D. Adamson, Ann Kokenauer, and Brandy Himes for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.